Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission.
So I want to start off this morning by introducing you to a man by the name of William Arthur Ward. Ward lived from 1921 to 1994, and for much of his life, not only was he a Christ follower, but he also wrote a column in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram titled Pertinent Proverbs. And at one point in time, he penned these words: gratitude can transform common days into thanksgivings, turn routine jobs into joy, and change ordinary opportunities into blessings. Now, I don't know about you, but I've found that to be true in my own life as well. Days that seem just like any other day, when my heart is filled with gratitude, it becomes a great day. Or when I have a task that maybe it may not seem all that great, when I do the job with thankfulness in my heart, all of a sudden the job becomes an act of joy. So gratitude can transform common days into thanksgiving, turn routine jobs into joy, and change ordinary opportunities into blessings. And if this is true, then this is great news, because what this means is that we don't have to wait until next Thursday to practice Thanksgiving. Rather, it means that we can celebrate Thanksgiving each and every day. So we're in this series right now titled Thanksgiving, and as we're going through this series, we're looking at several different psalms, and we're talking about living a lifestyle of gratitude. So let me come back to the title of Ward's column there, Pertinent Proverbs. I can't think of something that's more pertinent for our life, something that's more relevant to our life than this reminder that as believers, we are called to live lives of gratitude. Because I think if we're honest, the temptation can be to live a life of complaint. The temptation all too often can be to focus on all of the negative things in this life. Unfortunately, when we focus on all of those negative things, when we fill our lives with complaint instead of with gratitude, those common days become a rut, those routine jobs become dreadful, and those ordinary opportunities become burdens. And so my encouragement to you today is to not allow for yourself to live a life of complaint. Don't fill your days with complaint. Don't fill your life with all of these negative things. Instead, fill your life with gratitude that you might experience thankfulness in the Lord each and every day. And as we look at another psalm today, we're going to see the impact of gratitude, not only on the life of the psalmist, but also on our lives as well. And we're going to be invited to experience a renewed sense of thanksgiving today. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Psalm chapter 98. We're going to look at verses 1 through 9 this morning. Psalm 98, verses 1 through 9, that's the entirety of the psalm. And as you're turning there, I want to set this up for you. At the start of this psalm, in the introduction of this psalm, just before verse 1, we see just two words there. A psalm. These two words, they say very little, but they also mean so much. So if you remember a couple of weeks ago, we talked about how that word psalm simply means song. And so by reading these two words, we're reminded that once again, the psalmist, as his heart was filled with thanksgiving, his mouth was filled with praise. His mouth was turned to singing. This, of course, was not the first time that God's people would be filled with thanksgiving and turn to song. In fact, there's 150 psalms that we see here in the book of Psalms. And while not every single psalm is a song of thanksgiving, some are songs of lament, some are songs of sorrow, many of these psalms are songs of praise. And so many times what we see is that God's people have been moved to rejoicing in song. Now, as we think about this particular song, this particular psalm, it's very possible that this psalm was written after the psalmist experienced some type of victory, possibly victory after a battle. Or it could be that this psalm was ultimately written to point our attention to the victory, the final victory that would be experienced in Christ. But regardless, the psalmist is clearly moved to thanksgiving and praise. Now, we're not told who the particular author of this psalm is. Sometimes the author is included, sometimes the author is not included. But this time, the psalmist does not reveal who he is. He simply has this psalm of thanksgiving. But without the author, this is a reminder that the focus of the psalmist's heart was not on himself. Rather, it was solely on the Lord. In other words, the psalmist recognized that his praise and thanksgiving were not a result of himself, not a result of the works of his own hands. Rather, the psalmist's praise and thanksgiving was a result of the Lord. Now, this would be true even if the psalmist had revealed who he was as the author of this psalm, but without the name given to us, it's a good reminder for us of who the source of his thanksgiving was. So let me pause right here and ask, who or what is the source of your thanksgiving? Who or what is the source of your praise? And if you find that you struggle to live a life of gratitude, if you find that you struggle for your heart and your mouth to be filled with praise, could it be that the source of your thanksgiving is someone or something other than the Lord? Who or what is the source of your thanksgiving? And if you would say that you are looking to someone or something else other than the Lord to be the source of your thanksgiving, then I would encourage you to allow for yourself to shift your focus off of whatever that thing might be so that your focus can be solely on the Lord once again, so that your heart and your mouth can be filled with praise, because He is the source of your praise. So although we don't know the author of this psalm, we do know that once again, they were filled with thanksgiving, and as a result, their mouth was filled with praise. So with that in mind, let's read what the psalmist has to say here in Psalm 98, verses 1 through 9. He said, "Sing a new song to the Lord, for He has performed wonders. His right hand and holy arm have won Him victory. The Lord has made His victory known. He has revealed His righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered His love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen our God's victory. Let the whole earth shout to the Lord, be jubilant, shout for joy and sing. Sing to the Lord with the lyre and melodious song, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout triumphantly in the presence of the Lord our King. Let the sea and all that fills it, the world and those who live in it, resound. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains shout together for joy before the Lord, for He is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world righteously and the peoples fairly." Now, as we look at this passage, I want to begin by highlighting what we see there at the beginning of verse 1. It says, "Sing a new song to the Lord." You know, the psalmist knew something about the importance of being inspired anew. The psalmist understood the importance of singing a new song to the Lord. Why? Because the Lord is continuing to do work in our hearts. Because the Lord's mercies are new every morning. Now understand, the work of the Lord is not necessarily a new work. Especially on this side of the cross, it is the same work that the Lord has been doing throughout the ages. Why? Because the work of the cross is a finished work, and it is the only necessary work for our salvation. And so the work of the Lord is not necessarily a new work, but God is continuing to use that same work to do new things in the lives of individual believers and even in the life of this church body. So, did you know that up until this point, this morning, we have had 39 baptisms this year. 40 and 41 are going to take place in the second service this morning. Something to celebrate, right? We don't even have to be told to celebrate that. We know that is something to celebrate. The same God that saved me back in this church in the 1980s is the same God that is moving in this church today. And so he's not doing a new work, but he is doing something new, something fresh in our church with the completed work of Christ. And I'll be honest, I can't speak for you, but for me, this is something that I have not seen happen in all of my years in the church, whether we're talking about growing up in church or whether we're talking about being on staff at a church. I've never experienced a movement like God like this before, and I find myself every Sunday morning just asking the Lord, please don't stop moving. Please continue to move. Continue to do what you're doing in our church and in our lives and in our community. Lord, would you do it again today? And so although the work itself is not new, just as a psalmist sings a new song, I would invite you this morning, experience the Lord's work anew in your life today. Maybe you feel like you've been living in a rut. Or maybe you feel like you're just going through the motions Monday to Tuesday, Tuesday to Wednesday, Wednesday to Thursday, and so on it goes. And maybe as a result, you find it difficult to walk in and to live this life of thanksgiving that we've been talking about. So let me encourage you again, experience the Lord's work anew in your life today. And if you don't know where to start, just ask the Lord, Lord, would you help me to experience your work anew in my life today? Help me to have a renewed sense of thanksgiving for the salvation and for the freedom that I have received in you, that my heart might be filled with gratitude once again. And as you experience the Lord's work anew in your life, it could be that the Lord puts a new song in your heart, just as we see that he put a new song in the psalmist's heart. God has been putting new songs in his people's hearts throughout the ages. If you were here for our Saturday celebration of our 150th anniversary back in August, then you know this to be true, that God has been putting new songs in his people's hearts for ages, because on that Saturday, we sang songs going all the way back to the 1700s, and then we moved forward for an hour and a half. We moved forward all the way up to songs from the 2000s. But as we sang all of these songs, it was a reminder for us that God is still putting new songs into the hearts of his people as we experience his work anew in our lives every single day. So hear this again, experience the Lord's work anew in your life today. And as you do, allow for the Lord to also renew within you a heart of gratitude that your life might be filled with thanksgiving once again. Now, as we continue to walk through our passage, I want you to see three reasons why we can have a renewed thanksgiving in our hearts. First, we can have a renewed thanksgiving in our hearts because God's works are still wonderful. Let's read all of verse 1 now. It says, "Sing a new song to the Lord, for he has performed wonders. His right hand and holy arm have won him victory." We can have a renewed thanksgiving in our hearts because God's works are still wonderful. Listen, every single day that we are alive, it is a new opportunity to see the wonderful works of the Lord. And we can see the wonderful works of the Lord both on the larger scale and on the smaller scale. On the larger scale, we can look outside and we can see the sun out in the sky. And while the sun may be a little bit closer to Texas than the rest of the world, the sun is also perfectly distanced away from this earth so that we are not completely destroyed by it. We can also look outside at nighttime and see the moon and all the stars in the sky, something that I never get tired of doing now that we live in a more rural community after living in a city for several years. But did you know right now we have what scientists are calling two moons in the sky? Now, the second moon is really just an asteroid that has entered our orbit. It came into our orbit back in September. It's leaving on November 25th. Now, if the asteroid were to collide with the Earth, it would destroy us. But this asteroid is not on a collision course with us. It is just something new and unique in our orbit right now, giving us another opportunity to stand in awe and to give praise to the Lord for his wonderful works. So all of that's on the larger scale. On the smaller scale, the simple fact that we have breath in our lungs today is another reason for us to say, man, your works are wonderful, God. And as we think about how God allows for plants to take in the carbon dioxide that we breathe out and then to put out oxygen so that we can continue to breathe in, it is simply an amazing thing if you pause to think about it. It is a wonderful work. And so let me encourage you today, whether you look at the larger scale, whether you look at the smaller scale, or if you just look for something simple in your own life, be reminded of God's wonderful works. The psalmist goes on to say that his right hand and holy arm have won him victory. And the image that comes to my mind is that of a conductor conducting a symphony. You know, I realize that the Lord has not called me to be the worship leader here at this church. However, many Sunday mornings as we sing praises to the Lord, and I'm standing on the front row, especially in this first service where we sing these great hymns of old, I find that I can't keep my right hand from staying. I can't keep it from moving, right? I just have to move my arm, and I find that I'm conducting on the front row as we sing these songs. So like a conductor conducting a symphony with his right arm, the Lord directs all the wonders of the world. So be reminded of God's wonderful works, because I believe as we are reminded of God's wonderful works, our hearts will be turned to praise and we will have a renewed sense of thanksgiving once again today. So we can have a renewed thanksgiving in our hearts because God's works are still wonderful. Second, we can have a renewed thanksgiving in our hearts because God is still our King. Let's look at verse 4 again. It says, "Let the whole earth shout to the Lord, be jubilant, shout for joy, and sing." We can have a renewed thanksgiving in our hearts because God is still our King. So the word that we see translated there is shout for joy is literally translated shout allowed. In fact, as we think about worship in the temple at that time, historically speaking, it would have been so loud and so boisterous that it would have been heard from far away. Now, this was not because they were trying to be obnoxious or irreverent. Rather, their worship was loud and boisterous because their thankfulness to the Lord could not be contained. So let me pause right here and say this. May it be true of us that our praise and thanksgiving could not be contained. May it be true of us that we are so overwhelmed with the greatness of our King that we can't help but shout aloud, that we can't help but shout for joy. But not only that we would shout for joy in this place, but that we would live lives of joy outside of this place, that people both near and far would know just how great the God is that we serve and the wonders that He's doing in our life because we simply can't keep it to ourselves. May it be true of us that our praise and thanksgiving could not be contained. Now, this particular word that's translated as shout for joy is also used in Zechariah 9:9, and it's used as a prophecy pointing to the fulfilled by the people when Jesus entered Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday. They shouted aloud with joy. It's a word that was typically used in reference to shouts of joy that would follow the entrance of a king. And so in verse 4, the psalmist says, shout for joy. Then in verse 6, he says, shout triumphantly in the presence of our king. You see, it was understood that the king coming to town was kind of a big thing. It was something to be celebrated. It was something to be marked with enthusiastic singing. Now, as we think about that, I want you to know our king hasn't just entered our town, our King has entered our hearts. Our King has come to transform us, renew us, and set us free. Our King hasn't just entered our town, our King has entered our hearts. And that's something that is to be celebrated. That's something to be marked with enthusiastic singing as our hearts are once again filled with thanksgiving. So we can be renewed, or we can have a renewed thanksgiving in our hearts because God's works are still wonderful and because God is still our King. Finally, this morning, we can have a renewed thanksgiving in our hearts because God's justice still brings hope. So look at verses 7 through 9 again. It says, let the seas and all that fills it, the world and those who live in it resound. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains shout together for joy before the Lord, for He is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world righteously and the peoples fairly. We can have a renewed thanksgiving in our hearts because God's justice still brings hope. The psalmist gives us some great imagery here. The seas offer praise to the Lord as their waves crash. The rivers offer praise to the Lord as the brooks babble and as the waters rush through the valleys and the rocks. The mountains stand tall as they echo all the sounds around them. In other words, we are reminded that everything was created to offer praise to the Lord. And that includes you and that includes me. Everything was created to offer praise to the Lord. But while the seas and the rivers don't have a choice in the matter, the seas and the rivers, they don't have a choice in whether or not they're going to offer praises to the Lord. Listen, we do. We do have a choice. You and I are not forced to praise the Lord, but as we recognize all the things that offer praises to the Lord in this earth, we are invited as individuals to join our voices with them that we might offer praise to the Lord as well. Everything was created to offer praise to the Lord. Now, while that is our choice, the Lord has still promised that he will come to judge the earth. And not just the earth, but every person on it. And while that might scare you, let me offer you some hope this morning with this reminder. The Lord is the perfect judge. In this world, we have good judges, we have bad judges. We have some who are great and some who are corrupt. But in the Lord, we don't have a corrupt judge. We have the best judge. The Lord is the perfect judge. And because he is perfect, when he comes to judge the world, he's going to judge it both righteously and fairly. Which means as we think about both heaven and hell, understand not a single person is going to either place unjustly. Not a single person is going to end up in the wrong place. Rather, because God is the perfect judge, judging both righteously and fairly, he will sort the two out perfectly. And so as we think about what a great judge that we have, just like the seas, the rivers, and the mountains, today and every day we can offer praise to the Lord as our hearts are filled with thanksgiving once again. We can have a renewed thanksgiving in our hearts because God's works are still wonderful, because God is still our King, and because God's justice still brings hope. But you may wonder, when the Lord comes to judge us, how do I know how I will be sorted? How do I know if I will receive heaven or hell? Well, God in his perfection has already revealed that answer to us, and the answer is found solely in Jesus Christ. Today, if you have already called upon the name of Jesus, then you can have that assurance that your salvation is secured in Jesus Christ. You don't have to fear what's going to happen when the Lord returns and when you stand before the perfect judge, because you know that you have been forgiven. But if you have not called upon the name of Jesus, today you can call upon the name of Jesus so that you will know that your salvation is secure in him. If you need to do that, then I want to give you the opportunity to do that right now. In just a minute, we're going to sing another song. And as we sing this song, this will be your opportunity to respond to whatever it is the Lord is doing in your heart and in your life today. Today you may be here and you may say, I've never called upon the name of Jesus to be my Lord. I've attended church for years, but I've never surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. But today I'm ready to do that. If that's you, then I want to invite you to respond this morning. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. Today can be the day of your salvation. Maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ already, but I've never taken that next step of baptism like we watched Jake Casey do in that video earlier. If you need to make that commitment for baptism today, then I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. Maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ. I've been baptized by immersion already. I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale. God's calling me to make this my church home, to connect my life with this body of believers. If that's you, I'd love to talk with you and pray with you as well. Today, you can become a member here. But today, maybe you would say, you know what? I've been allowing for my life to be filled with so many other things instead of thanksgiving and gratitude. And today, you just need to confess to the Lord that you need to shift your heart's focus onto him so that your life can be filled with thanksgiving once again. If that's you, then I would encourage you. You can deal with the Lord right where you're at, but if you need someone to pray with you, then I'd be happy to do that. Whatever it is that the Lord's calling you to do in these final moments, I would encourage you to respond obediently as we sing. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you and have a great week.